Sunday night, Shaar HaBitochel. We're not calling it a synopsis shiur anymore, or second series. We're just going to continue now. Okay, this is Lilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim for Reb Nosson. We thank our hostess, as we always do, and then we always say, and then we always have to thank Mrs. Manrix also. Okay. We're on page Kuf Lamed Dalid in the text that I'm using. Okay, so the Chovos Halvavos goes through five things you have to believe. It's really interesting, the Chovos Halvavos. First, he tells you the seven things that have to exist before you can trust someone. Now he's talking about the five things you have to believe. You have to internalize and believe five things, hagdamas he calls them, introductory things, like that you have to believe in order to have bitachon in Hashem. And if you don't believe these five things, you won't develop full bitachon. And again, I can't stress it enough. Developing full bitachon is a lifetime of work. It's not you're going to hear this fantastic shiur tonight, and tomorrow you're going to have bitachon and be able to relate to all the things he talks about. It's not like that. It can't be like that. Bitachon is a lifetime of work. And that's why Shaar HaBitachon should be reviewed and gone over and thought about and worked on. And full bitachon is very, very difficult. And halavai, we should incrementally increase our bitachon level and not just pay lip service by saying Yemitz Hashem every so often or Be'ezus Hashem. It's deeper than that. It's good to say it if you mean it. Yosef HaTzadik, right? Rashi says Yosef HaTzadik said it. But if we mean it, it would be even better. So, what was I saying? Yeah, and then he has these five things you have to believe before you can have bitachon. And then he finally starts talking about bitachon. Later on in the fourth parak, and he starts talking about having bitachon and when you have bitachon and when you don't have bitachon and the bitachon versus ishtadlus issue and how do you have bitachon when it's nogeya other people, right? Should I have bitachon at other people's expense, so to speak, right? Let's say someone's depending on me to do something. When do I pull out the bitachon card and when do I not pull out the bitachon card? Someone just asked me now in the car, he drove me here, so I shouldn't be late. And he asks me how much ishtadlus he should do to get his son into a certain yeshiva. So to get your son into yeshiva, right, well, what's the bitachon ishtadlus ratio there? The rule of thumb, just since you're all waiting to hear the answer, I'm sure, with bated breath, the rule of thumb is that the more ruchni something is, this is like the opposite of human behavior. The more ruchni something is, the less bitachon you're supposed to have. Because you're supposed to do it yourself. You're supposed to... Hashem wants you to take care of it. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirei shemayim. Hashem doesn't want you to rely on him. Ruchnius is not like a magic world called ruchnius. Ruchnius is your own personal development. So you have to do it because that's how you develop. That's the real world. As much as you work out in the gym for the physical, so you have to come to Chovos Halvavos this year and work out the ruchnius, right? But really, that's where a person has to develop his or her ruchnius. So the more ruchni something is, the less bitachon Hashem wants you to have. He doesn't want you to have any until. Because we can have any bitachon. He wants you to take care of it. He wants you to do it. Because that's how you're developing your neshama. That's how you're developing your bechira. That's how you're developing who you are and what you are. So we're still in the... Even the third perek already of Shaar HaBitachon is still introductory. But it's no kasha. Because bitachon is so hard to develop that you really have to think about these things, and they're introductory, and we have to break through the wall. I said it last week. We're going to learn it again today. I go to someone. There's no difference if you open your store 9:30 or 10. No difference. Like, what do you mean there's no difference? It's a half hour difference. You're not going to earn any more or less money if you open 10 o'clock instead of 9:30. So no one wants to believe it. No one wants to believe that if you go to the second best doctor in the world, it's going to be just as good as if you go to the best doctor in the world or the third best doctor in the world, right? We don't. It's hard. So these introductions are very important. So sometimes I think they get boring maybe, or I belabor them too much. But they are introductory. Like, he didn't even start talking about bitachon yet. He's talking about the things you need in order to achieve it. So we're up on page Kuf Lamed Daled, the Hakdama Hashlishis. We're actually up to the third introduction, he calls it. In this perek, he's giving a list of five things that you have to believe and internalize before you could develop true bitachon. The first thing was to believe that Hashem has all the seven qualities that allow you to have bitachon in someone, that allow you to. So Hashem has all those seven things. The second thing was, very interestingly, I find it fascinating. I never fail to say that sentence, so I'll say it again. The second thing you have to believe to achieve full bitachon is that Hashem knows your kishkes, Hashem knows what you're thinking, Hashem knows where you're really holding, Hashem knows mitzponos libo. Hashem knows, and Hashem knows if you're truly having bitachon or not. And I can't get over the fact that he makes that one of the five things, and it's number two, and it's a powerful point. And I think the point is that if you allow yourself to kid yourself, then you can't develop full bitachon. And the only way, because for other people it's very easy to put on a show, a couple of Amir to Hashem liberally sprinkled, and you sound very frum, and people say, wow, mamish. And then you kid yourself, and it's very hard work to develop bitachon. And therefore, he says, you're not going to develop bitachon unless you believe that Hashem knows your kishkis, and Hashem knows Lev B'nai Adam. That was the second hakdama. Now we're up to the third hakdama. The third hakdama, the third introduction, the third thing you have to believe fully in order to develop full bitachon is to believe sheyiftach al Hashem levado, b'meshehu chayov liftoach olav, that you are the unique, only Hashem, the uniqueness, no, the singularity, I guess that would be the word. The singularity, it's only Hashem I have bitachon in. It's not like I have bitachon, you know, what's the joke? You know, the guy is looking for a parking space and davening to Hashem to give him a parking space. And then he sees a parking spot and he goes, okay, Hashem, I'll take over now. you could relax, I found the spot. You know? So if things are going good, so you have bitachon Hashem, but then the minute things start going bad, so we start running around. So he says, the singularity, you have to develop the idea that all the things that we use are all shluchim of Hashem. And he's going to talk about doctors in a moment. It's not that we're b'teach b'Hashem and in the doctor. We're b'teach b'Hashem and in the employer. We're b'teach b'Hashem. And this is everything. If I were to say to anyone here that you wake up in the morning and you want to eat breakfast, and you know that there's cereal in the pantry and there's milk in the refrigerator, I mean, it's there. It was there last night, and no one went anywhere, and it's there. What the Chavis HaLovas wants you to do is to say that I'm going to eat breakfast today because Hashem's providing me with breakfast. Not because I have it in my refrigerator, but Hashem's allowing me to take it. Hashem is allowing me to have it. I'm going to the bank to take out my money that I deposited there. Hashem's allowing me to take it out. Hashem's allowing me to make, so even simple, natural things, we have to train ourselves to get used to the idea that I only have bitachon in Hashem. I don't have bitachon in my refrigerator. I don't have bitachon in the fact that if Hashem could easily make it not be there, right? We know the things that it's really a little. I'm saying it in a simplistic, childish way, but it's a way to be makar of it. You know, that when I say we know what could happen to our refrigerator and there's no breakfast this morning, we know what could happen to the money in the bank and it could not be there. We know what could happen to a person's body. What could happen to a person? Ganovim could come, right? He could take the money. So, really, I shouldn't have to say this, but we do need it to be said. We have to point to what could happen in order to say, "Oh, so I have to just have bitachon in Hashem." But conceptually, that really need not be said. I shouldn't have to point to a calamity that could befall us in order to say, you see, you have to have bitachon in Hashem. It should be really enough, theoretically, to just say, of course you need Hashem. Like, he's the one that's empowering and enabling everything. Oh, because he can make me get paralyzed, Chas v'Shalom, right, and not be able to get the milk. Shouldn't have to say that in order to be comfortable with the fact that it's Hashem enabling me to get the milk, because that's the reality. So that's also part of the singularity of bitachon. But that's what the Hakdama Shlishis is the demand, the necessity for singularity. If you don't have that, if you trust in Hashem and in your boss, in Hashem and in the doctor, in Hashem and in your rich friend, then you're not being boteach b'Hashem. And you're not dealing with the reality, because the reality is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enabling everything. So if you want the maila of a boteach b'Hashem, that Hashem should respond in kind, and Hashem should, okay, if you boteach with me, I won't let you down, as we talked about, right? Yichastcha Hashem aleinu kasher yichalnu lach, v'lo nevosh ki v'chol b'tochnu. You have to have singularity of bitachon. He throws in the phrase, if you're following in the Sefer, b'meshu chayev liftoach olav. You say, what? I thought you have to be talking in everything. Not in Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, we'll have later. We're going to get to the part of the Chayvus Halvavus Shar B'tochen where he talks about B'tochen itself, not what leads up to it. And there we'll see that in Ruchniyustika matters, there is no, you're not supposed to, the parsha of Bitochon is not referring to Ruchniyustika matters, and that's why he throws in this phrase, B'meshu chayav liftoach olav, in things that you have, that you're supposed to, and have to, and are required to have Bitochon about. V'lo yishatev imu zuloso, v'yiftach olav alechad min anevram. Ki oz yifsad bitchono al Hashem, kiven sheshitev imu zuloso. So you're not really having, if you don't solely rely on Hashem, so for all intents and purposes, you're not relying on Him. Relying on Him means it's all Him. He's causing and doing everything. And now he talks about doctors. V'kvor yadata, masha omar akosav ba'oso. Oso was a melech, Yehuda. Al af tzidkoso, he was a tzaddik. But kasher botach al harofim. Now, how was he botach al harofim on doctors? Because the Chayvus Halvavus is advocating not going to doctors. Certainly, he's not advocating that. But ba'omro, he quotes the pasuk Divrei Hayom in Beis Perek Tezayin pasuk Yud Beis. The pasuk says b'chol yo lo doresh es Hashem. Ki barofim, v'gam b'chol yo lo chadoresh es Hashem, ki im barofim. So let's take it slow. V'nen ashal kach. Now, let me digress for a moment. Very interesting. So you look in Divrei Hayomim, it doesn't say that he was punished for it. It doesn't say. doesn't say any consequence of this. It just, and it's a funny lashon, v'gam b'chol yom, also in his, what's v'gam? V'gam. So there's a story that leads up to this. There was a war. Mishnah Shloshim v'sheish l'malchus also. There was a war. Yisrael went to war against Yehuda, and also wanted to make an alliance with Aram in order to defend himself. Also, the tzaddik, the Melech Yehuda, wanted to make an alliance with Ben-Hadad, Melech Aram, to defend himself against the attack. Right, there was always, at certain years, it got very bad, civil war, and the Melech Yisrael, Basha, attacked Yehuda, attacked also Melech Yehuda. So Asa sends money, and he pleads with Ben-Hadad Melech Aram to make a treaty with him. And Ben-Hadad responds, and he sends his army, and they protect Yehuda indeed. So the Navi comes to Asa Melech Yehuda. It works, right? It works, but the Navi comes to Asa Melech Yehuda and says, "Bihishan encha al Melech Aram. You trusted your ally. You went to Melech Aram. V'lo nishanto al Hashem Elokecha. And you didn't have full bitachon in Hashem. Al kein nimlat chel Melech Aram miyodecha." Now Melech Aram's going to turn against you. Now you're out your money. You had to pay him a lot of tribute in order to get him to sign on the dotted line. And now he's going to turn against you. And this is the Chavis Alvavus, remember in his opening statement, you eat what you sow, right? You reap what you sow. You eat what you plant. And now you made an alliance with Melech Aram, and now you're dependent on him. Right, and now so now you're out your money, and if you would have been, hello Hakushim, I have the track record, hello Hakushim, the Haluvim, they had a bigger army, and they went to war against you. You've been in wars before, uvishaencha al Hashem, the son of Biyodecha, and Hashem, you won the war. And now you foolish, niskalto al zos. Now Aram's going to turn against you. Now you made Aram powerful. Now he thinks you're dependent on him. He's the one that saved you from Basha Melech Yisrael. You paid him tribute. You emptied out your own treasury to send him money. Now he's going to turn against you. Like, what did you do here? What did you do? As the Navi says, Vayichas ol el aroa, ol osa, right? You killed the messenger. He doesn't like this Navi giving him Musar. He's sitting on top of the world now. I mean, he made this alliance with Aram, and it worked. And now the Navi comes, he's yelling at him. So he says, he put him in jail. And he put him in jail, and that's who he was. Also was punished. Now, the Tzaddik also was punished. And he developed an illness in his feet. He became crippled in his feet. And now comes the pasuk that we just learned, the famous Halvavos. Vayechla asa v'shna shloshim v'teisha l'malchusu v'raglov. He became a cripple, paralyzed, whatever. He developed something in his feet. He couldn't walk. V'gam b'chol yolodoros as Hashem ki barofim. So now we understand the whole picture. This is an extension of the mistake he made in the Milchama. So when Chavis Halvavos says the Nenesh al Kach, he has a right to speculate that, because this is Vagam. This is Mamish, the behavioral pattern of Asa. We saw it in the Milchama, and there's a whole bunch of psukim where the Navi comes and yells at Asa for making an alliance, with Aram in a war. And so now, also in his sickness, so now we can understand what happened here with the doctors. So Chavis Halvavos has a right to speculate that he got punished because he got punished for what he did in the war. right? And he continued that behavioral pattern. So he's okay. I'm no problem with Chayv Salvavus assuming that he got punished. That he got punished for this as well, because it's vegan. So you say, so you shouldn't go to a doctor. So now, Adarav, you see, obviously, well, first of all, according to Ramban, you don't go to a doctor. Because the lovers doesn't hold like that and never suggests it. You go to a doctor and you gotta get used to the idea and really believe that the doctor is only a shliach of Hashem. Also, obviously, if he would have been of the mindset, so you say, so what's wrong? So he made an alliance with Melech Aram. The answer is, if he truly would have felt that Aram is only a shliach of Hashem, then he would have realized the inconsistency of his actions, because he won the last five wars, four wars, whatever, without making an alliance. So you didn't really think that now Aram is Mr. Shliach of Hashem, because you did quite fine until now without Aram. That's what the Navi says to him. So we're going deep into the psyche. You know, you could say, you're not a Shliach of Hashem. You don't believe it. I mean, you did it, you know, you're going to cover your bases. You're going to have Hashem on your side. And, you know, just in case, you know, that's not enough. You know, you're making an alliance with Asa. With Melech Aram. So that's what he said. And that's obviously, clearly, since that's Al Kochach the Pshat, and that's why the Pasuk, the Navi, when he yelled at him, didn't just yell at him and give him Musar, but he pointed to the past. Halo Hakushim v'haluvim hoyu l'chayil l'rod l'rechel d'parashim l'harbe miyod. You had more difficult wars than this one, when things looked more hopeless than it does now. And then you had full bitachon on Hashem. And when you have bitachon on Hashem, nesanam biyodecha, Hashem responded in kind. So what are you now, foolish person? Now you're going to eat the fruits of your own actions. Aram's powerful now. You made him powerful. You brought him into the country. This is the same thing happened in Bayasheni. It's well known as historical fact. When the Jews made an alliance with the Romans, right, in order to protect them, they brought the Romans into the country. And who was Machrib the second base on Mikdash? The Romans at the end. They brought them in, and they suffered from them tremendously until up till the Churban. That's what happened with the doctors. The Gam B'choyul Odorish was Hashem Ki Barofim. So the Pasuk really says it B'feirish, because when you call a doctor and you believe the doctor is a Shliach of Hashem, you don't say the Gam B'choyul Lo Dorish as Hashem, because you are Dorish as Hashem. But also was, and believe me, he daven Shmona Esrei, and he said Rufa'enu, as much as we do. But he's covering his bases. Hashem is Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, and I got Dr. So-and-so on the side. This is what the Chayv Salvavus is saying, the singularity of Hashem. If you cover your bases, if your mindset is that Hashem's going to help me, and I got the doctor also, that's called the Gam B'chol Yo Lo Doresh Es Hashem. That's not Bitochel. Ki Barofim. So it's easy to pay lip service to this, and that's my big challenge, and I don't want to get into a discussion now. Maybe we'll devote time for a discussion some other time. Really, I want to cover some ground. But the big question I always ask people when they claim that they do believe the doctor is a Shliach of Hashem is that no one wants to settle for the second best doctor or the third best doctor, who's quite competent. And if you believe the doctor is only a Shliach of Hashem, then you will settle for anyone competent. And we don't settle for anyone competent. So, the question is, maybe someone less competent. So we excuse ourselves. We say that the person that's less competent is more likely to make a mistake, and my chiyuv v'shtadlus is to go to the very top. Or, you know, that's how we think. But many times, I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just asking us all to think. That's what we're doing. We're really, and again, we're talking lifetime endeavor. No one expects anybody to walk out of here and be holier than the tzaddik. Than the tzaddik also. He was a tzaddik. Al af tzidkaso. He was a tzaddik. But, you know, it's very hard. Very hard. Because we're in a world where the doctor looks and the doctor analyzes and the doctor subscribes and the doctor gives orders and we get better. Yeah. So it's very hard. But that's the point here. The point is whether we are looking at the doctor as a shliach of Hashem, just a poshut pshat mechayev halvavos, is, and that's clear when you go through the Divrei Yomim and you see the business with the war, so you see clearly that the chayev halvavos is not adopting the shitas haramban, that indeed you should never go to a doctor and you shouldn't, but he's pointing out that if you, it's shituf, you're covering your bases many times, and you have to, and that's why the pasuk says lo darash es Hashem ki barofim.
Maybe it was asked that the problem was because there was like a precedent, and it even says in the pasuk that in the other wars I helped you, so he really had a precedent that Hashem would help him. But let's say in a case where it was his first war or something, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad that this was the preparation for.
It's not a question of if Hashem's going to help you or not. It's a question of your mindset. If your mindset is that the alliance is a heaven-sent opportunity and Hashem wants you to, then you're right. It's not a question of if Hashem will help. Hashem is always the one helping you. We could say that if in the very first war, out of nowhere, like a powerful country offered to help him, I don't know, but maybe there were other signposts, which I didn't really speak out to Pasuk. So you're right, so you have to be careful. It says he took a lot of the money out of the Beis HaMikdash treasury in order to lure Ben-Hadad, Melech Haram, into the alliance. So you say, you know, something, right? If you do something like that already, so you say, is that how Hashem, this is a shliach of Hashem, and I have to empty out the Beis HaMikdash treasury to buy his alliance? So we have to be very careful about, so the third hakdama, the third premise that we have to develop in order to have bitachon is the singularity of bitachon in Hashem. The Amar HaKosov, and it's really easy, in a funny way, it's easy. It's hard to have, but it's reality. Because all you have to do is say, wait a second, who gives the doctor intelligence? Who gives the doctor the ability to analyze correctly? There have been stories of doctors analyzing incorrectly and giving the wrong medicine. Who's giving mi choning lo adam das? Who's, so you say, so you, it's not really that hard because you really just have to confront reality. The reality is Hashem, and Hashem's empowering everything. Just like, that's what I mean, you practice. You say, Hashem's giving me the milk from the refrigerator. It's not just there, and, oh, I don't need Hashem this morning, because I have milk in the refrigerator, and I just have to go there and get it. No. Hashem's giving you the milk. He's giving it to you. So you practice, and you say, yeah, the doctor's the shliach. Then they offer, the doctor went on vacation. His assistant is in. Is that good enough for you? No. Wait till he comes back. Whoops. There goes all the bitachon. Okay. It's a question. I am amazed. Exactly how to strike the balance. It's hard. Everybody wants the best doctor. At least let's realize it's a problem. It's not so simple. Nobody wants to open the store 9:30. They want to open the store 9:00. We're prisoners in what we see as cause and effect, and this is why bitachon, true bitachon, is a lifetime endeavor. V'amar akosav baruch hagever sheyiftach v'Hashem, v'ayah Hashem miftachol. So there's really, what does he mean to bring out in this pasuk? He means to bring out, I don't know, two possible. The double lashon is the singularity. Baruch Hagever Sheiftach Bashem, and Vayashem Miftachol means he's the only Miftach. right? He is his miftach. You would make a noun out of it. The first part of the pasuk is a verb. Baruch Hagevah Sheiftach Hashem. But when you say, so you could have bitachon Hashem and bitachon in something else also. But when you make a noun out of it and you say v'hoya Hashem miftacho, so that's mashma, a certain singularity. It also brings out the idea of the Chavis HaVavis in the beginning of Shaar HaBitachon, that when you have true bitachon, Hashem responds in kind. So the pasuk is saying that also, that Baruch Hagevah Sheiftach Hashem, and indeed Hashem will then be mivtacho, will be worthy, so to speak, of your trust, of your reliance. Umina yadua, we know well, shekol avoteich al shnei mamunim b'bnei adam, that's why you have two people. O yoser al kach, lahotzi lepol davar masuyim. You have two people, you have two people that, you have a task, and you give it to one of two, you give it to two people, and only one person needs to do it, and it only takes one person to do it. So you say, okay, both of you take care. Whoever does it, it's good. So yeh betchono botel. So you know, like, you can't rely on this one, because maybe that one's relying on the other one to do it. So you can't have yeh betchono botel. You can't really rely on them to do it, it turns out. The Gemara has a famous phrase about this, right? Kederi de beishutfei lechamimi v'loi kariri, the Gemara says. It's a halachic principle. It's used in halacha. When many people are in charge of something, so many times it doesn't get done, because everybody's relying on the other person to do it. Kederi de beishutfei means a pat.
It's like bad bite.
Yeah, right. So, kederi de beishutfei, a pat, a dish, cooking, of two people, so it's neither hot nor cold. It doesn't get cooked properly, like Riv Lechamimi. So if by two people, so you just end up relying on the other one. Kal v'chomer, certainly, if you think you're relying on Hashem and on someone else, so it means you're not really relying on Hashem, you're relying on someone else, and the other person's a boss of a dumb, and who says he's not going to be able to do it, and you're not having bitachon, so Hashem will say, okay, have it your way, let the other guy do it, let's see what he can do. And now the Chavis HaLovis, in his last line in this paragraph, says something very powerful. He says, it hurts, he says, V'yiyazeh ha'goyrim ha'ikr le'imilui dover shabbat ha'cholav bo. He says, when we are disappointed in the result, we say, but I had bitachon, how come Hashem didn't listen to me? How come it didn't work? How come things didn't work out? The Chavis HaLovis says that the main reason, very powerful statement, the main reason that we don't, the imilui dover shabbat d'chalavo, the main reason that we are disappointed, that we think we had bitachon and it didn't work out. So we're going to learn about such things, you know. So yeah, it's for the best, etc. But he says, you know, you didn't really have bitachon. Because you really had bitachon in Hashem and in the person that's going to do it for you. And I'm adding this. This is how we're learning it. And you really didn't believe, oh, that person's nothing but a shliach. You send someone in to talk to someone to get you the job. You send someone that has some protects you. So you say, okay. Yeah, then you find out the last minute he can't come, and he sent his cousin. So you're going to get all excited. But if you truly thought that he's just a shliach of Hashem, you wouldn't get all excited. You would maybe sweat a little, but you wouldn't get all excited. You wouldn't go nuts. So the Chavis HaLovis, and since HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind when you truly have bitachon, and when you don't, he says, okay, my good friend, have it your way. So the Chavis HaLovis therefore takes the liberty of saying, V'yezeh, I'm repeating it, HaGorem HaIkar, this is the main cause that people do not have what they have bitachon about fulfilled. Le'imilui davar shabbat ha'cholav bo. And Kamaimur HaKosov, and this sounds really terrible. He says, Orur HaGever, Asher yiftach ba'odom v'som basar zero'o. And he applies this pasuk to shituf. He applies this pasuk to, well, it's no worse than Asa. Asa certainly davened to Hashem, but he went to the doctors also and gave them an independent aura. So it says lo batach el Hashem, lo darash es Hashem, lo darash es Hashem. So orur hagever sheyiftach ba'odom some bosses ruo, because he doesn't really have bitachon. He doesn't have bitachon at all. It's not that he has a little bitachon, but he's covering his bases. So he doesn't truly have bitachon. The third, to develop true bitachon, you have to develop the singularity of the bitachon. It's only Hashem, and everything else is just shluchim, but it's only Hashem. If he wants it, it'll happen. If he doesn't want it, it won't happen, and that's all there is. And everything else is just shluchim.
He's saying you're bitachon.
What?
There's no
hishtadlus. Not talking about hishtadlus. We're talking about giving any hishtadlus you do the proper context. That this is how Hashem's functioning. The proof of the pudding is when the doctor goes away on vacation for a week and you're left with the assistant. That's the proof of the pudding and what you're really believing.
What is the right reaction?
To?
To that.
To when the doctor goes away?
Yeah.
I don't know what his assistance is like.
He's a young
assistant. Three of his last four patients were treated properly. What your hishtadlus isn't good if you accept him as a replacement, seems to me.
If what? If his last three patients died? Yeah, I agree.
Now I'm saying, you know, I agree. We know he has a bad record,
so we're not talking about that, right? Well, obviously we're not talking about that. But we all know that we call up Benny Fisher or we call up whatever, and we say, I want the top doctor. We all do that. Jews do it. That's what's ironic, is that Jews more than Chinese do that. And we have organizations helping us do it. And I find it fascinating that we have organizations helping us do it. The top. I want the best doctor in the country. Why is the best doctor our hishtadlus? If the definition of hishtadlus is to always realize that they're all shluchim of Hashem, so we should accept anybody competent.
But they're not all equally competent, and that's what you're investigating with these organizations.
But why does it make a difference to Hashem as long as he's competent?
Because maybe it's part of the rules of nature that if he sends a doctor who just doesn't do things right or diagnose properly...
I said competent. I'm giving a premise of competence.
But it's with everything in life. It's striking the balance.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's what the Chavis HaLovers are saying. Everything in life is like that. Anytime we open a store, it takes work. It takes work. If I go to someone who has a store and I say, I want you to open up from now on an hour later... And if Hashem wants you to earn X amount of dollars a year, X amount of shekel a year, there's no way you're going to earn less just because you're... So if you could show me that the bulk of the customers come the first hour, I withdraw my litmus test. And I say, yeah, the normal hishtadlus would be to make sure you're open that first hour, because that's when there's a rush of customers. But if that's not the case, if they trickle in throughout the day, and I say, you know what, what's the difference? You open up 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you can earn the same money at the end of the year anyway. And you go, yeah, that's nice in theory, Rabbi Malinowitz, but I'm opening 9 o'clock. I don't care what you say.
Morality yeah, is very subjective.
That's it. That's why we're learning this, right? Yeah, you're right.
If there's an Indian of being honest.
Yeah.
Right. So if that's the case, so then if you're in a situation, let's say with the doctors, you could wait until the guy comes back, or you could go with the assistant. So you know that it's better to just say, you know, it's really all in Kosh Baruch Hu's hands, and I should just go with the assistant. But if you also know that you're not actually on that level, so you're not going to pretend like Hashem knows what's
you're right.
So then it's does that mean that therefore I should say, well, maybe next time, but this time I know that I'm going to be, I know that I'm going to be nervous the whole time, so then I guess that means I really should wait for the
doctor. You're not doing an avera by waiting.
Well, because the idea that you're supposed to be honest with yourself.
But if you, but what you just said is 100% correct. But, here comes the but. If you always do that, then you'll never raise your level.
You recognize that it's not but ideal.
If, again, but if you always do that, not you, if one always does that, then how would one ever raise their level? So you really have to have a game plan to, you know, you have to have a game plan. Because if you, if we just, if we're passive and we just accept the way we are, then we'll never grow. But you're right. I've told the story here before of the fella that someone in the shul asked me if they should buy tickets on if they should El Al is more expensive. They should go on another airline, but security is better on El Al. So is that a problem? Because he wants. So I said exactly what you just said. I said, look, there's no point in going on the other airline and being nervous the whole trip. There's no mitzvah to go on the other airline and be nervous. If you're going to be nervous, then go El Al. But you have to work on this. If the other, you don't read about crashes on the other airline. So, you know, you don't read about hijackings on the other airline. So they're good enough, Taka, right? They're, so,
but
yeah.
Also, when you come,
puzzled is because you said that. You're saying the baseline is doctors are equally competent, but you don't understand why there's these organizations giving out names of doctors.
L'chora, if we had full... No, I do understand why, because we don't have full bitachon. What I said was if we had full bitachon, we would accept with equanimity any competent doctor. That's what I said. Sir, absolutely. That's...
That's
my question. If we had full bitachon, we would be happy with any competent doctor. It's okay. I'm no better than anyone here.
No. It's just they're not equally competent. That's why they have these organizations. I mean, there is a lot of stories, you know.
You're right. If the purpose of the organizations is to weed out incompetence, then I have no problem. I have no kasha. You're right. It's subjective, but that's part of why we're learning here is to develop fuller and fuller bitachon. It's not an avera, so to speak. It's not an avera if one doesn't have full bitachon yet. It's a lifetime endeavor, really. It's not an avera. You're holding where you're holding, but it's something to work on. You just look at Sefer Tillim. It's 80% about bitachon. It's really a life force. It really changes. It changes your life. It gives you perspective. It calms you down. It gives you serenity. Something to work on. So I get Shilas. I thought I got Shilas. Should I take out a full page yet or is a half a page yet enough? So the first thing I do is I check if. Why are you laughing? That's such a good question. Should I spend the money on a full page yet?
Not a dinner journal.
Or should I? should I spend the money on a full page yet? That's such a good question. I was so proud of the person for asking it. I felt inadequate to answer. I said, the first thing you have to do is to take a market survey. If statistics show that there's a significant difference between a full page yet and a half page yet, there are probably studies to that effect.
I'm only chuckling because it seems like at a certain point, common sense needs to come into play. Like, if you can afford more and you think that it would be better for your business,
but that's what we're in. Why will it be better for your business if you have full bitachon? And isn't a half a page yet fine? I could see a half a page yet rather than, you know, a 16th of a page. I hear, because then a person turning the pages, even though Hashem could, but okay, we could deal with that in terms of normal hishtadlus. We could say the 16th of a page doesn't get seen. But a half a page and a full page? I can't believe there are... It's statistically significant. I can't believe that there's a statistically significant number of people that see a full page ad and don't notice the half a page ad. I can't believe that.
But the fact that when he said, because when he said that, I'm sorry, so that the main reason that let's say, we're not getting what we want, pretty much as that, because we don't meet bitachon. So that's saying, if we really had full bitachon, then Hashem would change a gezeirah, change, let's say, what he feels is the best, do what we think is the best.
Well, that's a good question.
There's a concept
by bitachon. That's the chiddush of bitachon, and perhaps even more so than by tefillah. Even though I never talked about that, when bitachon and when tefillah, and the subtlety of difference between the two, that's a very difficult, complex inyan that maybe we'll talk about after we finish our bitachon. The difference between bitachon and tefillah. But to address what you just said, this is what Yichas Tocha Hashem Aleinu Kasher Yichal Nulach. That Hashem, because we say to Hashem V'lo Nevosh Ki V'cha Betachon. That's what we should keep in mind. That pasuk. There's a dynamic in the world that Hashem doesn't want us to be embarrassed for having had faith in Him. He doesn't want us standing at the curb waiting for the car to come. And no one ever shows up. So he could maneuver that anything could end up being good for us. And that's the chiddush, the tremendous chiddush of true bitachon, is that Hashem will respond in kind to what we had bitachon about, so that we shouldn't be embarrassed. You see, because it's funny, like, v'lo nevosh ki v'cha bitachon, and we say it a few times during that, if you notice by downing, there's a few times where we use such phrases, and you say, like, who's talking about ashamed? I want a job. I want nachas for my children. I want my b'chola to be better. Like, what are you talking about embarrassment for? It's weird. No, because that's what we're talking about, that there's a dynamic of bitachon, specifically, that says we're not going to be ashamed. We trusted in something, and it ended up like the pach nefesh, I was sent away. So if we're relying on something, we're leaning on something, Hashem's not going to make us fall. And that's sometimes, it has to be developed. I apologize, really, I can't help it. Sometimes that's more powerful than tefillah. Now, you can daven with bitachon too, right? But as someone once said to me, a very astute girl who was listening to my shiurim, she says when she's really into bitachon, she feels like she doesn't have to daven. She's relying on Hashem, and she was like, wait a second, of course I have to daven. But like it really is, but bitachon has the dynamic of v'lo nevosh ki v'cha b'tachnu, there's such a dynamic.
Talking about doctors,
part of the senses of that process
that
I
think this happened once before, and I think it's her turn. Yeah.
Talking about doctors, people don't realize that even the best doctors can make a mistake in a certain person. So
that's true. That's also true. Yeah.
Another competent doctor will come to the right diagnosis and treatment.
Yeah.
I thought there was an element in that pasuk of Lo Nevosh that it's like in front of the nations that we trust in Hashem that you're going to help us and don't make us embarrassed that we trusted you and you didn't come.
That's also true, but it's true in a person's individual life too. So I said this in the early days of the Shir. We say Lahagid Ki Yashar Hashem Tzuri V'lo Avlos Abo. I'll say it very quickly now. So Hashem's Yashar. And v'lo avla sabo, he's not going to do an avla. So it's called damning with faint praise. Like, that's the best thing we could say about Hashem. He doesn't do an avla. Like, it's funny. So the answer is, I said, I gave a marshal, the guy calls up, he says, can you take me to the airport? I'm trusting on you, I'm relying on you. And you hang up the phone. And the person knows you're relying on him. And that's a special mechayev that he should come pick you up. Even if he doesn't feel like doing you a favor. He doesn't especially like you. He's not holding by doing a gemilas chesed. But if he knows you're relying on him, and he just doesn't show up, it's an avla. It's an avla. And Hashem doesn't do an avla. And that's the dynamic of v'lo nevosh ki v'cha b'tachnu. That if Hashem knows we're relying on him, he's not going to mess us up. He's not going to do that avla, so to speak. Of making us just have that pit of disappointment. Now, of course, there's always that like it's really, really no good for us. And you know, but again, I remind you what the Chaim Salvador says: the main goreim that people do not have. What he doesn't say what they want, what their boteach, the reason it doesn't get fulfilled, because they're really having dual bitachon. Okay, so again, we go back to number two, where Hashem knows the depths of our hearts. So you say, so you can't win. You can't win. You don't have to win. You have to work. And you work on it. And it's Hashem. It takes years. It takes years. David HaMelech, it took years and years and years and years and years. It's not something that you're going to go out tomorrow and start having bitachon. It takes work. Think about the seven things. Think about the five things. Think about your own lives, how things turned around for you when you had bitachon and Hashem. This girl I keep referring to, she's engaged, she's getting married in a month. She told the Shatchan. The Shatchan says, I'm never going to find a husband for you. This was around 6 months ago. Shatchan says, I can't find a husband for you. You're a unique person. So she said, you're not going to find a husband for me. Hashem's going to find a husband for you. The question is, are you going to be the shliach? So apparently she really believed that. She's engaged. She's getting married in another 4 weeks. 4 weeks from this Wednesday night. Mitzvah Hashem. See that? Nice ending to the story. I hope she doesn't listen to this tape.